Is your emotional protection healthy? Welcome to Mental Health Insights. This is the podcast where we explore how to improve your mental health. My name is Craig Faust. I'm a mental health counselor here in St. Louis, Missouri, and I'll be happy to explore this question with you all here today. Let's just go ahead and define emotional protection really quick. Emotional protection is whenever we do something that will protect us emotionally. So this can be a variety of things. Let me just give you a list of few, and you may even find that you do some of these. Probably one of the more common emotional protections that we do is we may get angry, frustrated at somebody. Our voice may get louder, our body gets tense. Another common thing is to not say anything, to avert eye contact, to try to back away from a potentially tense situation. Another move may be to turn the conversation around on the other person, right? Or to pick apart something that they've said. Another may be to form a wall and empty and out all of your emotion that may be in your face or your body. There are several different ways that we can protect ourselves emotionally. And actually, these protections are quite necessary in order just to go throughout life. So they're completely normal. But whether or not they're healthy is a little more of a complex question. So I would say that emotional protection is healthy if it's serving the function that you want it to in the moments. But if it's hindering different things, then we want to take a closer look at it. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to reduce protections to something that's just not useful. Because to be truthful, they are very useful. For example, whenever I am very upset at my son or my daughter, if I can take that emotional frustration and put it aside for a moment and allow something else to take hold, well, then I'm probably going to have a better interaction, right? This is the bread and butter of what we've been doing here in exploring these emotional experiences to improve our mental health in this series that we've been doing. And understanding our own protections is key in that. We want to understand how we protect ourselves. What is it that we do? What's the normal move that we make? Because if we can start to understand some of these moves that we make, then we can start to make different decisions and we can start to pay attention to other emotional cues that are occurring. So you remember in some of the last episodes where we talked about how you can have different emotional experiences at the same time. When we were talking about our very last episode, we talked about the idea of actually sitting and kind of camping around, right? I use the fishing metaphor where we're putting that lure out and we're drawing out the fish. We're trying our best to notice these different things. Well, often the biggest urge that we get whenever we have an emotional experience with another person, or honestly, it doesn't have to be another person. It could be a piece of news or whatever it may be. A person doesn't actually have to be present. But when we experience something emotional, often our knee-jerk reaction or the biggest response is the protective move that we have. Now, what do I mean by protective move? I gave you some examples earlier, but the protective move often helps shield us from negative messages, negative views of ourselves, or painful insights that we may have into who we are, or how other people may view or sense us. So our protections are a way of buffering not only how we may feel about ourselves, but also trying to present a different way that other people are experiencing us. So let me give you just a common example. So let's say that my wife and I are out on a date. And I am, you know, we're at a dinner and I am placing an order at our favorite restaurant. And whenever I go to do so, I fumble up my words whenever I'm ordering. So our favorite restaurant is a local restaurant here. And the things that are on the menu I'm not so good at pronouncing. So inevitably, whenever I order it, I kind of mess up the words. And whenever I do so, the waiter that's at our table, real champ, doesn't correct me, already understands this. My guess is that other people that visit the restaurant maybe have the same issue, but my wife is not that same way. She believes in correction because if people can do the right thing the right way, then she believes people are better off this. And really, the intention behind it is lovingly. You know, she doesn't have any malice or anything towards me. I understand this now, but I have not always understood that in our relationship. So whenever she offers the correction, one of the things, my protections that will show up is a variety, but the most common response that I'll have is my face will get stiff. Apparently my eyes will start to get a little sharp. And as I am saying something, right, my tone, right, starts to change into that sharpness. And, you know, according to her, I said something around I said it the right, you just didn't hear it correctly. So those of you guys that are listening and have been bombarded by a myriad of gaslighting articles and tests and all the such that has been the rage for the past year or so, we'll listen to that and they'll be like, oh gosh, Craig is gaslighting his wife. And, you know, whether or not that's true or not is maybe for a different conversation. But what is true right now is that I'm in a protective maneuver, right? This is my wife, someone I care deeply about. I don't want her to see me as a fool. So whenever I do this protective move, I am turning around the conversation on her and blaming her for mishearing me, even though I know fully that I didn't do that, right? That I mispronounced this thing because I don't want her to see me that way, right? So these are things I know about myself now. And by the way, we will get to that exploration of some of the messages and different things to help you flesh out really this protection. But that is a protective move there. But also whenever I take that protective move and I'm turning it around on my wife, I don't have to suffer the embarrassment as deeply as I would normally because I'm turning the conversation on her. And there's a waiter here, so my wife just brushes it off. She orders her thing. Leaves, then she brings back the conversation, like, hey, what was that about? And then I get to continue to play like there's no real big issue or anything like that. She must have just misheard me. No big deal, right? So again, this maneuver, again, to try to get my wife to see me in a better light, while also having the secondary effects of shielding me from a negative internal emotional interaction. So this protective move that I do there is useful in some ways because it's helping me not feel a negative emotional move, and it's hopefully helping my wife see me something different. Now, that's the hope or the intent behind it. However, the truth is, and this is what I know happens in my relationship, well, me getting sharp, my eyes changing, my tone changing, all that experience that my wife has of me in those moments turning on her, it's not a pleasant experience for her too. And she has a, you know, an option of doubling down and getting frustrated at me to announce that what she heard or what she noticed is true and that she just wants to, you know, she wants to offer that correction so that I don't make the mistake again and so that I don't feel this embarrassment, right? Because remember, she has good intentions behind it. Or she could just let it go. And often what she'll do is let it go. So the thing is, I have to explore and I have to understand, because I know that I make these moves, because I've understood this and I explore it, and I know that knee-jerk reaction, that tension that shows up in my chest, that shows up because behind the tension that is my chest is the sinking in my heart that is embarrassment for me, the sadness that happens, right? I'm moving away from that emotional experience to protect myself. And the more I know about that protection, then the higher chance I have of catching myself and making a different move, or at least recognizing when we go into that pattern that I can circle back and acknowledge to my wife what was going on. So, you know, a lot of you that may be hearing this, some of you may be able to relate. Others of you may actually be on the other side of the aisle where you experience the prickliness of somebody else whenever you offer something that may be corrective or differing opinion or anything like that. Then they all of a sudden turn this emotional energy on you. And then you're like, what's going on here, right? You had good intent. And the problem is good intentions don't get emotionally translated whenever there's conflict occurring, right? So sometimes our emotional protections are wonderful, right? Because my ability to protect myself and to like alter and manipulate my feelings has made me very successful in a lot of other ways. It's made me very, very good at socially interacting with people. It's made me, especially my ability just to sit back and observe and notice like my full emotional experience. It's made me fantastic as a therapist. It's made me wonderful as a father because I can recognize some of the protections that I have and I can choose in these moments to lean in and to make different moves and to apologize whenever I recognize that my protection hurts somebody, because often our protections can hurt somebody. But often the people that love and care about us, they want to understand our protections. Like, Craig, what the heck happened there whenever you did that? And if we can give them insight to that, it's truly helpful for them. But also knowing that other people have protections is good for us to know. So when you ask the question, is your emotional protection healthy? Is my emotional protection healthy that I just told you guys about? Not if I want to have a great marriage. Not if I want to be able to have a loving relationship with my kids. Maybe it's helpful for me in certain contexts and certain situations. But if I'm gauging health on, does it get me what I truly want? Which for me is to have closer and significant relationships. Then I could say that that emotional protection is not healthy in my family. However, the emotional protection, again, it does serve a function. This has helped me be stable throughout many hardships in my life because it hasn't always manifested in this way, right? I may not always have to turn it around on somebody. That's just one move in that arsenal that I make, because traditionally, the big move that I make where I get tense is just buffering myself from the emotional turmoil that happens from on the inside of me. So often what will happen is I just won't show any emotion, or I'll kind of get stiff-faced or different things like that. So the truth is, while we have a big protection, it can have different varieties of flavor that show up. And the more and more that we start to think about us, so, you know, whenever you're sitting there thinking about your own protection, think about whenever you get into conflict with people you care about. What is it that you do? What is it that you're guarding, right? Whenever you think about getting hurt with people, do you get loud and yell at them? Do you become completely immersed in guilt and shame and hide your face from them? Do you be, you know, do you engage in conversation? Do you turn it around on them? Is there a way that you stay involved in the conversation, but you're only up in your head? You're being completely logical and removing your emotional experience from this. Think about some of the moves that you may do, or how do you handle whenever things are going wrong between you and other people in your life that are really significant. That will help you start to pin down some of your protection. And then you have to start to be curious about it. Remember, we're not examining this to make you feel awful. After all, I shared my example, even though it's super embarrassing. And really, I'm sure it doesn't color me in a pretty light that I do this to my wife or I'll do this to people that I care about. But the truth is, I'm doing this and showing you this because I want you to consider your own protections, your own emotional protections. And I want you to consider two things. I want you to consider, is this the way that you want to have your emotional relationships with people that you care about? Right? So we have to sit here and orient ourselves to the idea that this is showing up with people that we care, and do we want to have that experience with them? And then the other thing is, we have to start to ask ourselves the question, what is it about this emotional protection that is useful? We want to validate it in some way because the emotional protection is serving a function. Now, the function that it's serving may not be useful for the moment or for building the relationships or what we want to do. And that's okay. That's really what we want to do, is try to name when this is helpful for us. What about it is helpful? The whole thing may not be bad. We may not throw out the whole thing in the bathwater. In fact, you'll find that it's going to be really hard to just throw that protection out. And it's most certainly something I wouldn't recommend as a first move. The first move I'd recommend is, if you tell yourself, yes, I do want to make a different move, then you have to get an idea of what is that different move that I want to do. So for me, the different move that I wanted to make is whenever I could sense that tension in my chest. That was kind of the first sign for me that I would know that I was going to make this move and that I was going to turn it around on my wife. And I do this in all kinds of ways. And this is something that she's aware of. So whenever I notice that tension, often I'm only noticing after I made the first comment. And if I notice that I'm able to do that, and I kind of recognize that, like, oop, I'm going through that same protection, I can pause myself and be like, hold on. I just really just threw some daggers at you, and that wasn't what I was wanting to do right there. It's what I did, and I'm sorry. I know that doesn't make you feel good. And can we just rewind for a second? Can I tell you what was actually happening? My wife's often very receptive to that. There's maybe sometimes that she's not, because I just threw some daggers at her, metaphorically, whenever we were getting into this interaction. My protection is prickly, and whenever it does, it hurts. She might not be able to take in an apology. Often, though, since we've been through this before, she's able to, even if it's minutes later, because sometimes I'm slow, that I'll be like, oh my gosh, like, I just noticed that I was doing this. And I can come back later and tell her, be like, hey, this is actually what was going on. I'm sorry that, this part came up, and we can come back together. Because really the reaction that I want to have is whenever I do misstep or I do say something and my wife offers that correction, what I would love to be able to say is, hey, I know that you're doing this, and I know it comes from a place of love. Right now, whenever I hear it, it's just hard for me to take in. All right, can you give me a second to try to open myself up to it, or just to try to recognize, like, where this is coming from in you? Often, whenever she hears that, she kind of, her little antenna goes up and she goes, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that I was making the comment. Because often it comes off as criticizing or patronizing or different, along that vein. And often, again, that's not her intent. So whenever she knows that, then she can rewind and she can deliver it a different way, a different tone. It's easier for me to pick up the care and love there. And so, like, my protection doesn't have to come up as much. Often our protection gets activated whenever we start to feel threatened in any way. But when we can get our heart online and we can show a little bit about what's going on, even if it's not perfect, right? If I can tell my wife in these moments, like, whoa, hold on, like, I know that I was just going off the wrong, I was going off the rails right there. It's not okay. I feel terrible about what I just said to you. And even if I could just do that and she could see a little bit of that, like, I feel terrible about me right now, what I just did, that's often enough for her to pivot, because she cares about what's going on for me, and then opens the door for me continuing to share. Like, oh gosh, I just can't believe I always get this wrong, right? People have told me my whole life I'm smart, and here I am just mispronouncing my favorite thing on this menu, and I do this all the time. I just don't know why I can't get it right, and it just, makes me feel terrible about myself. And whenever I can do that and make that pivot, I'm opening the way for the response that I want, which is to be honest and open with my wife. And if I can do that and I do it again and again and again, then I'm allowing that emotional experience to potentially enlarge that response. What fires together wires together. So in these moments, the more I can catch myself and have a different response, the easier it's going to be for my automatic response. So the whole kit and caboodle is that we want to really be able to recognize the emotional protection. And the first thing we got to do is be curious about it. And you got to ask your question, yourself the question, is your emotional protection healthy? And often the answer is going to be, well, some of it is, but it's not fully healthy, or it's not fully how I want it to be. it's okay being honest about that and getting an idea of what, you know, what it is that you want it to be. After you have this idea of what it is, go and tell other people. They're usually not going to be surprised about the emotional protective moves that you make, but they will be surprised about the insight and the heart that you may show when you're talking about how this isn't how you want to be around them. That's the first key, because we're already making a different move there. We're talking about the things that are actually going on, the moves that we're actually making, the things that other people are actually seeing and they're actually witnessing from us. And it's easier for people to move into those types of conversations. But it all starts with you just starting to ask yourself that question. When I have this emotional protection that you're going to take some time and think about right now, what is that emotional protection for me? And is it healthy? Is it how I want to show up? After you start asking yourself those questions, give yourself that time and space to think about how do you want to move forward and maybe responding different if that's something that you want to do, right? Give yourself an idea of like, well, how do I want to show up different? Okay, now how can I go and tell someone I care about this so that I get the opportunity right then and there just to practice a little bit of that different right now? So we will talk more about in some of these episodes to come about the messages that we get that really ramp up emotion. And we're going to be using people that we really care about as proxies. So you'll hear a lot about me talking about my wife or friends and different messages that I may get from them. But I want to preempt this with, often the messages that we get from other people, they are almost always not intended the way that they come across. Often people are sending messages that they're not trying to send to other people that they care about, including you. So we want to explore this as far as really fleshing out what are some of these messages we get from other people, what are some of the main ones, because once we give words to them, once we really give life to these, then we can start to actually have conversations about them, we can communicate about them. The whole purpose of this is to try to help regulate our own emotional experience and maybe even the emotional experience we'll have with other people so that we can utilize our emotional experience in a positive way, in a way that's healthy, in a way that's going to help your mental health overall. This is the whole reason that we're moving into this. And thank you for sticking around this series. I know that going through some of these different things, you're bearing with me, my stories, my metaphors, and everything like that. And I know that there's going to be a payoff as we get through this. So I super appreciate you tuning in, and I look forward to talking to you all next time. Until then, take care. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.